Hey guys, it's the Ghost. Thanks for being here today. So I wanted to talk about the random time that something that you only hear about happening to other people actually happens to you, and something not that awesome. A lot of us watch crime shows and we're interested in the different investigations, and we want to know the why. Why people do some of the things they do as far as crime goes. Well, there's one neuroscientist who discovered something about himself. He found out that he was actually a psychopath. He was doing innocent studies. He's researching brain scans and searching for patterns that correlated with psychopathic behavior, something a lot of scientists do. But while doing that, he found out that his own brain fits that profile. We all know what happens when we are watching a psychopath on television. It's usually at a time when they've already committed some horrendous crime, and typically we're just amazed at their actions and we're very curious on how their brain works. And at the same time, we're secretly glad that their psychopathic brain is just that, theirs and not ours. But what would you do if you came to the discovery that you had a psychopathic brain? Would it scare you? We're going to talk about one man's experience in discovering this himself about himself. So stick around. It's going to be pretty interesting. Real quick, first, I want to make sure that all of you know that we do have two channels out there. A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. And They Call Me the Ghost, where I like to share the jobs that I do with my team, and then we have a discussion about it. We also have podcasts for both channels and a Facebook group, Shadow Ops Debrief. If you like the strange in story format, then you are in the right place. So if you haven't already, sign up, subscribe, and join the conversation. All right, let's get back to a psychopathic self. One afternoon in October, back in 2005, neuroscientist James Fallon was looking at brain scans of serial killers. And this was all part of a research project that he was working on at UC Irvine in California. He was sifting through thousands of PET scans to find anatomical patterns in the brain that correlated with psychopathic tendencies in our real world. He was quoted as saying, "I was looking at many scans of murderers, and they were mixed in with those of schizophrenics, depressives, and other normal brains. Out of serendipity, I was also doing a study on Alzheimer's, and as part of that, I had brain scans from me and everyone in my family right on my desk. I get to the bottom of the stack and I see this scan that was obviously pathological," he says, noting that it showed low activity in certain areas of the frontal and temporal lobes. And those are linked to empathy, morality, and self-control. That's a big one. Knowing that it belonged to a member of his family, Fallon checked his lab's PET machine for an error, but it was working perfectly fine. Well, then he decides he simply had to break the blinding that prevented him from knowing whose actual brain he was looking at. And when he looked up the code, he was greeted by an unsettling revelation. The psychopathic brain pictured in the scan was his own. Many of us would hide this discovery. We would never want to tell a soul. We'd want to forget it ourselves out of fear or maybe embarrassment. Who wants to really be labeled as a psychopath? Perhaps also because boldness and disinhibition are noted psychopathic tendencies, Fallon has gone all out. He's gone in the opposite direction. He's telling the world about his finding. And if any of you are interested, he actually wrote a book on it called The Psychopath Inside. Might be pretty interesting. In this book, Fallon seeks to reconcile how he, a happily married family man, could demonstrate the same anatomical patterns that marked the minds of serial killers. "I've never killed anybody or raped anyone," he says. "So the first thing I thought was that maybe my hypothesis was wrong," and he's probably hoping it was, "and that these brain areas are not reflective of psychopathy or murderous behavior." However, when he underwent a series of genetic tests, he got more bad news. "I had all these high-risk markers for aggression, violence, and low empathy," he says. such as a variant of the MAOA gene that has been linked with aggressive behavior. Eventually, based on further neurological and behavioral research into psychopathy, he decided he was indeed a psychopath, just a relatively good kind, what he and others call a prosocial psychopath. So if you don't know about that, you're learning something today. That is someone who has difficulty feeling true empathy for others, but still keeps his behavior roughly within socially acceptable bounds. It wasn't exactly a shock to Fallon, as he'd always been aware that he was someone especially motivated by power and manipulating others, and he'll admit to this. In addition, his family line included 7 alleged murderers, including Lizzie Borden, infamously accused of killing her father and stepmother in 1892. I know a lot of you who know who that is. But the fact that a person with the genes and brain of a psychopath could end up a nonviolent and stable, successful scientist made Fallon reconsider the ambiguity of the term. Psychopathy, after all, doesn't appear as a formal diagnosis in general, in part because it encompasses such a wide range of symptoms. It might be a surprise to you that all psychopaths do not kill. Not everyone goes that far, even if they have some of those traits. But those psychopathic behaviors still will come out. As far as Fallon goes, he'll say, "I'm obnoxiously competitive. I won't even let my grandchildren win games. I'm kind of a jerk, and I do jerky things that tick people off," he says. "But while I'm aggressive, my aggression is sublimated. I'd rather beat someone in an argument than beat them up." Well, that makes sense to me, and that's good for Fallon. So why has Fallon been able to temper his behavior while others with these similar genetics, they turn violent? They end up in prison for bad things like murder. For Fallon, this helped his views on the influence of genes and behavior. You know, they've evolved. He now believes that his childhood helped prevent him from heading down a scarier path. And we've seen this. You know, you watch the shows. There's a lot of true crime fans out there. You hear the stories. Why does one brother go completely psychotic? And then the 5 other children, there's nothing wrong. Well, it doesn't mean that they don't share some of these traits. And indeed, when someone does find out their brother or father or even their mother killed someone and is a psychopath, it scares them inside. And there's reason for that. And Fallon says that the surroundings and how you're treated does help mold who you are, regardless if you're technically a psychopath or not. He'll say, "I was loved. That protected me." Partly as a result of a series of miscarriages that preceded his birth, he was given an especially heavy amount of attention from his parents. And he full-on believes this is what helped mold him so that he could be in the place he is today. It seems like so much of a psychopath's behavior is determined in that prefrontal cortex, because that area in psychopaths is characteristically low. And this leaves someone vulnerable because they can be extra affected by things going on around them in their environment. And so you can see that it depends. If a parent and a family environment is more friendly and positive, especially for someone who's leaning towards psychopathy, this is really important. And on top of all of that, Fallon will talk about a third element, a third ingredient, which I am not quite sure all psychopaths have the ability to even control. But Fallon says that he can, and this is what we call free will. He says, "Since finding all of this out and looking into all of it, I have made an effort to try to change my behavior. I am more consciously doing things that are considered to be the right thing to do and thinking about what other people might be feeling." But he adds, "At the same time, I'm not doing this because I'm suddenly some nice guy. I'm doing it because of my own pride, and I want to show everyone that I can pull it off." So my last note about this is that psychopaths are known to have an ability to fit in. It doesn't actually mean that they are interacting with you the same or feeling the natural reactions some of us are feeling in different times. So someone like Fallon, is he still a risk? Would you think that you're still a risk? Sure, he can make it look good, but doesn't it matter what's actually happening inside your brain? Without personal interaction in a mental way, without being able to empathize, how are you really doing in the end? And if you have a psychopathic tendency, are you going to be able to pull it off forever? Something to think about. Let me know what you guys think. What would you do if you found out you were a psychopath? And do you think some psychopaths can really just get away from it and live absolutely normal lives and not endanger anyone? Let me know your thoughts. And thank you for listening today. And until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.